advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Good to see her this week. She's coming in from Arizona and Prescott, Arizona, and where she lives right now, and we'll be doing a little visiting. One of the things we're going to get to do is go to the Rogers Wildlife place for a little tour and see the birds. Those of you that look on my Facebook, facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor, instead of a picture of me right now, there's a picture of one of my new friends from that rehab center, one of the barred owls. So check that out, and we've got some information about the center there on Facebook, and they're doing a great job helping rehab all kinds of birds there that range from little bitty things to some of the big the pelican with the wounded wing is one of the most interesting characters there. He runs around on the ground and tries to be a little intimidating, but he's just a big softy, I think. This hour is brought to you by our newsletter and the Texas Organic Research Center, both. The newsletter is free. All you got to do is sign up for it. The Texas Organic Research Center is our 501c3 not-for-profit company that does research and gathers research by other people and tries to help make it clear and understandable for people about why this natural organic approach is the best way to go. And it covers the negative things about synthetic fertilizers and pest control products that are dangerous and harmful to the soil and to wildlife and to livestock and to people, like Roundup. All of that kind of information is there. You can read on our website about how to get involved in it, donate to help with the work there, or help in any way you can. So check it out. We appreciate anything you can do. We had a specific question that came in. Somebody didn't want to hold. And by the way, there's open lines if you want to jump on here and chat about anything at 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. Jump on board here. The question was, will Miracle-Gro fertilizer hurt earthworms? And my opinion is that it will, especially long term. When you use any kind of a synthetic fertilizer, you'll notice, especially if you use clay pots, but any kind of a pot, you'll see this to a degree. You'll see over a period of time that there will be salts build up, not only on the soil surface, but on the pot. The salts will kind of start forming out on the outside of the pot, and that's coming from the fertilizers. The synthetic fertilizers are basically salts, and that's why that goes on like that. You can do a web search. There's information like that in the Texas Organic Research Center, but you can find it really easily anywhere you want about how the synthetic fertilizers are basically salts and, you know, the sulfates. And they do feed the plants. They do make plants grow and are green. But that's the big reason that we're opposed to them, is that they're not good for biological activity in the soil. The main thing we're trying to do is build the life in the soil. Well, the salt fertilizers do damage to that life in the soil and keep repressing it. And finally, everything crashes and burns, and you have to rebuild the soil and go through all that. Well, that doesn't happen with the organic program. The organic fertilizers, compost, organic blend fertilizers, the sugar products, the the rock powders, all those things do what we want, and that is to build the biological activity, the microbes in the soil, the earthworm population, the beneficial insects, all those kind of things, rather than knocking it down. They keep the soil loose and friable, breathe and drain properly, and all that. Synthetic fertilizers do just the opposite. They work for a while, and they kind of lull you to sleep and fake you out a little bit. But long term, there's no question. The synthetic fertilizers are a problem. The organic fertilizers are a great help. All right, everybody's loading up here, so let's get back to the phone lines. That number, again, when you hear somebody leave, is 866-444-3478. First up this hour is Don in Richardson. Hey, Don.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Two quick questions. I've got some really nice amaryllis, and I'm tired of hauling them into my garage every winter. Can I split those things up and keep them for the winter and then put them back in the dirt?
Well, it depends on what kind of amaryllis you have, Don. We have a couple of different kinds that are hardy amaryllis, and they stay in the ground all the time. They never get dug up. If yours are the tropical kind that would freeze in the ground, the answer is yes, you can dig them up, and the storage for them during the cold weather is dry peat moss. That's the one use for peat moss that I think is just terrific.
Okay. So I really wouldn't know because,
you know which ones you have.
Yeah, right.
Well, what you might do, how many are we talking about?
Oh, I've got about three containers that are just overpopulated with them. And then I've got a couple of the giant ones. You know, the really huge blooms.
Okay, these are all in containers now?
Yeah.
Okay, those are the kind that are probably tropical, and you're going to have to protect and go through the rigmarole. There's information on our website and all over the internet out there about how you need to take those amaryllis like that, those tropical ones, through a dry period. They need that dry dormancy. And peat moss is a great way to protect them and store them if you want to do that.
You don't have to refrigerate them or anything.
No. You don't need to do that at all. If they're tropical, they're not going to want cold temperature. But storing them in the peat moss is probably better than just turning the pot over sideways and leaving it exposed to air and rodents and things like that. See what I mean?
All right, my last question. I've tried your solutions for Rose Rosetta, and it keeps coming back. I guess the final solution is dig them up.
Rose Rosette is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, well, give me a little more detail. What kind of roses do you have?
I've got the knockouts.
Okay, yeah, they're the most susceptible.
Yeah.
What all have you done?
I've used the Garrett juice, and I've used the hydrogen peroxide. I've used the hydrogen peroxide without the Garrett juice. I've trimmed them down and sprayed them. I've kind of done everything.
Okay, the one thing that the one mistake I hear people make is they skip one step, and I've had residential and commercial people do this. It, like you've run into, when you spray with Garrett juice and hydrogen peroxide, it knocks it back for sure, but it'll tend to come back unless you do some heavy duty work to the soil. All of the Rose Rosette solution that I've always talked about includes, and maybe the most important part of it is, the sick tree treatment, which is to aerate the root zone. And while the root zone is aerated, in other words, while the holes are open, you apply all of the amendments that we use for bed preparation. Lava sand, green sand, cornmeal, dry molasses, some kind of a, you know, if you don't use a Garrett juice that, like the Garrett Juice Pro that has bacteria and mycorrhizae in it, you need to buy BioSI or some product that does and add that to the drench that goes into the soil. If you do that in addition to the Garrett juice and hydrogen peroxide spray on the top, you'll really get it under control.
All right. That gives me an idea.
It's a lot of trouble, you know, but for those plants like the knockouts that are highly susceptible, you got to do that.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Let me know. Let's go to Dallas and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Doing well.
I've got some trees down at East Texas in Athens, around Lake Athens.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, well, I think it's a hickory tree, but it's got three dead limbs just sticking out on one side, and then the rest of the tree looks real healthy. And I've talked to a local arborist, and he's wanting to spray a bunch of stuff on there, and I don't know anything about the chemicals or anything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It seems that the root flare is, I mean, it's got, you know, one flare on one side. The other side, you can't see any of the root flare. So you think it's too deep in the soil, or what do you think?
Well, let me get to that in a second. The first thing, well, we're going to run out of time here. Rather than rushing, can you hang on with me through this break?
Sure.
There's one good way to tell whether it's a hickory or not. Does it have any hickory nuts laying around on the ground and under?
Yeah, there are lots of nuts there.
Okay. Hang on. We'll talk about your tree. I think I can help you fix it right after this, okay? Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back after this. Don't go away. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydrotain. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydrotain. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydrotain. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydrotain is now available to you. Hydrotain allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydrotain or order directly from Hydrotain.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil. The richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and dirtdoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Howard back. Telephone number 866-444-3478. We were talking with Mike about a hickory tree, it sounds like. Mike, you said that you've got some dead limbs on one side. Does that one side where the dead limbs exist happen to also be the side where the trunk flare is not exposed?
No, it's about 90 degree to that exposure. Now, there's another tree probably 30 feet away that's blocking a lot of its afternoon sun, and the limbs up above these three are, you know, real full of where it gets, you know, noontime sun.
Where it gets plenty of sun.
I just wonder if it's daylight. When I'm...
Yeah, that can be part of it. Some trees are worse about that than others. Ball cypress are real bad. And hickory may be in that category. I have never had hickory that I've watched every day because it won't grow in my alkaline soil, as you know.
Yeah.
We're around hickory quite a bit on some of the projects. But I would get wherever you have that trunk coming out of the ground straight,
yeah,
and other parts of it are looking good and real well exposed, what that generally means is that place where it's coming up straight, there's a circling and girdling root cutting in at that point.
Well, now see, there's actually two trees that are about 6 inches apart in this and at this area. So you think, you know this thing's been there a while. The biggest one's probably 18 inches in diameter,
mm-hmm,
and it's about what 35, 40 feet tall. It's a big puppy.
Yeah. Well, anywhere there's any kind of pressure going in like that, that can cause, you know, a problem with the vascular system of the plant, be causing those dead limbs. So that could be part of it. The light could be part of it, like you've already suggested. But I would, without question, go ahead and uncover the flare more and see what's going on and fix whatever you need to fix.
Okay, there's some mistletoe way up in the top of this thing where I can't get to.
Well, that's another indication that it's in some degree of stress.
Yeah, so that's probably the root flare more than anything.
Probably
so. Well, there's
so
a lot of plants around it, but, you know, this is the water table's only 7 feet from where from the surface.
Well, they like a lot of moisture, so that shouldn't be the problem.
Surely as big as that thing is, it's taproots to that water table, wouldn't you think?
Well, taproots are something that people are a little – there's quite a bit of misconception about. When a tree gets some size on it, it doesn't matter what it is, oak, elm, hickory, whatever, taproot dies.
Oh, really? doing?
There is no taproot on big trees. All the root system is transferred. The taproot is for the young tree. It helps that young tree from a structural standpoint, helps it get going, probably does pull up some nutrients and water from deep below. But once that tree starts to mature, that root system builds out and develops very shallowly in the soil, and that taproot dies away.
I've got another tree very similar. Well, not similar. It's they say it's in decline, but I had more service come down and do the the root flare on it, and it's got tons of suckers on it. Should I take those off or not?
Suckers from the base?
Well, all up the trunk, all up the tree. So is that a sign that it's recovering and putting out to get more leaves?
Yeah, I don't like leaving a whole lot of suckers, but if there's any foliage on them right now, go ahead and leave that and then tidy it up after everything goes dormant.
Okay, what about this guy's also saying I got lots of aphids on some of the – I've got several acres and lots of aphids, but you know.
Aphids are a sign of stress too, but they're generally a sign of temporary stress,
yeah.
Weather changing, you know, something like that. I don't get too nervous about them. The biggest problem with aphids is the honeydew on your car, if your car is parked under them, something like that.
We can spray for that, and I thought, well, all those leaves are going to come off anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Do the base work, and what you've already done some of it sounds like, and I think those little problems will go away.
I thought I was just going to get about 10 pounds of ladybugs and turn them loose.
Well, that'll help. No question about it.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Let's go to Candace in Weatherford, Texas. Hello, Candace.
Good morning, Dr. Garrett. I just wanted, you've been talking about chinaberry trees, and I just wanted to mention when we were kids, growing up for the most part in San Antonio, we had chinaberry trees everywhere, and we had chinaberry wars. My brothers and his friends and my friends, and mom would sit on the porch. Anybody shoots higher than, you know, mid-chest, then you're going inside. But they used slingshots, and then they were a bunch of chickens. The guys were, because they'd hold up a big garbage can lid. But we got popped with those, and they sting. They're hard. Those berries are hard. So maybe that's a good use for them.
Pretty good ammunition. That's right.
Yeah, it was. Okay, and that poor lady who called earlier about this guy telling her to transplant her trees in the spring. I'm not an arborist or any of that, but I did, when I had a home that permitted gardens and flower beds and all that, I did do some studying. And as you just said, the tree is going dormant in the fall, and it is dormant in the winter, and unless you're out there where your ground is frozen a foot or so down, you know, transplant your trees in the fall, don't you think? I mean, they're going to sleep.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was suggesting to her. I'm sure that he was talking about early spring, but
when they're trying to wake up, you know.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to do anywhere you are. So hopefully she'll do what we talked about, do a little of both, and maybe he'll come around our way of thinking.
Yeah, or get somebody else. But
anyway. Did you have a question about a blue spruce or something?
No, I have a question about a huge caterpillar in the yard this morning. When it's cool, I let my cats out in the yard, and there's a lot of leaf litter over here to the side, and it was a huge caterpillar, long as my ring finger. And it had some amber color, well, sort of a light burgundy color down his back, and he had a horn in the back of his head. Well, I got a scrub cloth. And
all right, we're going to have to talk about it when I come back. I'll put you on hold. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back after this to talk about a strange creature.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we were talking with Candace about a strange big caterpillar that she found in her place. Did you see just one, Candace, or were there several of these guys?
Just one. My cat was playing with something on leaves, and we've had some velvet ants, those nicknamed calculars, I think.
Yeah, big red ones, yeah.
Yes, I know. One of my cats back when got, you know, into trouble with one. But anyway, I want to make sure it wasn't going to hurt the cat, and I didn't want the cat really to hurt the caterpillar.
Well, now, this caterpillar, does he have some big, what looks like eyes on one end of it?
He had a horn in the back of his head, like a little, almost an antenna.
Okay, but not big eyes.
I didn't see any eyes
they're
on
they're not really eyes, they're just markings that look like eyes.
No.
Well, yours is a little different. It sounds like you've got one of the big moths also. I had similar caterpillars eating pentas in my backyard, and I showed that I was taking them off and feeding some of them to the koi, and I stirred up a whole bunch of controversy on Facebook because they didn't like me killing these big worms. That this was the one I had was the sphinx moth caterpillar, and they do a lot of eating, and then they form a cocoon, the pupal case, in the ground. And I haven't found it yet. I've been digging around trying to find some so I can show people a picture of exactly what they look like. Mm-hmm. Yours sounds more like a tomato hornworm or a tobacco hornworm, which will also have a chrysalis, the pupae, in the ground, and it has a little handle on it like a ewer or a pitcher. And they form into, both of them form, end up being these beautiful big moths. And
a big moth one time. He had like big eyes on each of his wings.
Some of them, well, that's a completely different one. That's a lunar moth. But these look like kind of look like jet airplanes, some of them swept back wings, and some of them look like a hummingbird, literally. And the one that I have, the sphinx moth, he's a little more streamlined. He looks like a fighter jet almost. So they're all a little bit different, but they're all great, big, very interesting, beautiful moths. It's good, like we've talked about on Facebook, to let some of them have some of your plants. Don't let them eat all the plants. Move them around to other areas if you need to. And if you have too many, you know, you can dispatch a few of them.
Yeah. I don't really have a plant issue outside, but I just wonder if he's harmful. I mean,
not to your cat or anything like that. And they don't bite, they don't sting, nothing like that.
All righty.
All right.
Well, that answers that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Logan sent me a picture of a real beautiful caterpillar she had one time, and she said, is this one dangerous? Will it sting? And she was holding it in her hand. So obviously it was okay. But the ones that you need to be a little bit careful about, they tend to have really interesting and distinctive spines and protuberances coming out of their bodies. Sometimes the color will be real dramatic. And it's not a clear case that they'll be the kind that can sting you, but it sometimes is a pretty good indicator. The ones that definitely will sting are the asps, are the puss caterpillars, and they're the ones that have a real pretty hairdo. We've got a great photograph of one on the website comparing it to a praying mantis egg casing. But the asp larvae have real soft, pretty hair, except right down the back, you'll notice that the hair is a little different color. And it's not only a different color, but they're bigger follicles, and they're hollow, and they are the poisonous stingers. And if they stab you, they hurt a lot. So you need to be careful. I've had reports that there's quite a few of them out there. If you do see them, you need to spray for them with BT sprays, Bacillus thuringiensis sprays, or with spinosad. In both cases, don't spray one of those things all over the place because they'll hurt honeybees. You spray just on the plants in the areas where that specific problem is. But the asp caterpillar is dangerous, especially to kids. And if you have them, you do need to take them out. There's nothing good, really, about them. Sean in Saltillo, Texas, is that what that is?
Saltillo.
Yeah, Saltillo, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was wanting to know, nematodes in the vegetable garden attack the roots and put these, scar tissue nodules or whatever on them. And is there a way to get rid of them without, and it's my understanding there's some good nematodes. But I just wondered.
There's a lot of different kind of nematodes, Sean. And the ones you're talking about are called root knot nematodes, and there's nothing good about them. They're bad. They attack tomatoes and peppers and okra and all kinds of things. There's a couple of different ways to go. One is, and it takes a while to be able to do this, if you will save your orange peelings and other citrus, orange peelings are the best, though. And what I do that works well is just save the peelings in a plastic bag in the freezer. Just cut them up into fairly small pieces, put them in a plastic bag and freeze them. And then when you plant in the spring or whenever you plant the crop that you know is susceptible to root knot nematodes, you run these frozen peelings through a food processor or a blender and make a pulp that smells great, you know, nice citrusy smell, and you make that part of the bed preparation where you're planting those susceptible plants. Works really well. The other thing is to use a commercial product. It's called Actinovate, and it's spelled, see if I can figure out how to spell it, Actinovate. Yeah, it's Actinovate. Actinovate.
Okay.
It's an Actomycetes product, microorganism product. And if you put it in at planting time, inoculate the seed or the transplants, it's very good prevention against the root knot nematodes.
Okay, well, thank you. And another question. Mm-hmm. I've got some about 30-foot tall cypress trees, and they put out knees. Mm-hmm. And we had about I'm in here on I-30 near Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
And we had we'll get a 50 or 60 mile an hour wind. Well, this year that hit, and about a foot off the end of many branches, just it broke and fell to the ground. But when I looked at it, it was such a clean break. It looked like it was already cracked. There wasn't a tear in the limb.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah, and it just I hadn't seen it snap off like that. It was like something you'd frozen and then just snapped it, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't frozen.
Yeah.
But
where was the break? Was the break right at the trunk?
No, on the ends of the limbs, on the very end.
That's even stranger.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I have no idea, Sean.
Okay.
Can you take a picture of any of that and send it to me?
No, I didn't. But it was just it was like. The limb was, they were green and all, but it was like, it was like they were totally dried out or something, and it just snapped off clean.
Well, that may have been what the case was. Was there any green foliage still on those pieces?
Oh, yeah, they were fine.
No, that wouldn't have been the case then.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And I've been, another thing is that ass business. I leaned over a sawhorse one time, and there was one on there, and he got me right on the side of the neck one Sunday morning.
Boy, that hurt.
And, oh, for about 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bad.
What happens is those needles stay in your skin, and that's why it lasts so long. And so one of the tips that people have given me is to use some Scotch tape duct tape.
Try
to pull those out.
Well, I wish I'd have known it.
Yeah, and then soaking it with vinegar also helps quite a bit too. Next time.
Okay.
All right. Next time, that happens on the cypress, take some pictures and send it to me because that's a little different than anything I've ever seen.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Cindy in Dallas and see what's up. Hey, Cindy.
Well, good morning, Howard.
How are you today?
I'm great. Huge fan. Been listening to you for, I don't know, how long have you been on? 20 years?
Yeah, more than that. Almost 30 now, it seems. It's been almost 30.
I love you, love you.
Thanks.
Listen, you and I testified down to the mayor and the city council to try to convince them to stop spraying for mosquitoes.
Uh-huh.
We were down there that day. I don't think they heard us.
No, we haven't stopped anything. The only thing that hasn't happened again since all that is the airplanes flying and spraying everybody. But the truck spraying that they're still doing is in a lot of cases even more dangerous because it concentrates it out for certain people and, you know, contaminates and kills the honeybees in those areas and all that.
And they still have those 4D sign out, use D. That just, sickens me.
I agree.
Anyway, today, my question is about the little white flies.
Mm-hmm.
And first I want to ask you, is wax leaf ligustrum the same thing as privet?
Wax leaf ligustrum is a privet. Privet is a generic term for all of the ligustrum.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're basically the same thing.
All right. So I've been in the library, and I've looked up the little bug that was on there. I had 3 out of 6 hedges across the front of my house completely taken out by these little white flies.
I've got some in the backyard on a gardenia right now, too. They're pretty persistent little beasts. What works well is to use Garrett juice and put a little hydrogen peroxide in it like you're spraying for a disease. The commercial product BioWash works pretty darn well on white flies. And the other thing about white flies that I've seen that they don't really like much at all is the yellow sticky traps. A lot of people use them and think they're only good for monitoring insect problems, but the white flies are really attracted to the yellow traps, and it actually does a good job of helping get them under control.
Now, what did you say, bio what?
BioWash is a commercial product that you can find at like Gecko Hardware and places that sell, you know, all the things that I recommend.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stores. Now, what I did was what the library said to do was that it's probably a lack of colloidal phosphate in the soil.
It could be related to nutrient deficiency. There's a couple ways you can reverse that. Soft rock phosphate is a wonderful tool, and you can find it in the places like we were talking. And then the other source that is good that will help you with not so available nutrients that should be available is natural diatomaceous earth, not dusted on the plant, but put into the soil and used as an amendment in the soil.
Okay, I've got some of that. Now, what it also said to do was really hit it with garlic pepper tea.
No, that helps. Garlic helps. I did that at home, too. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett will be back right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares. Aerate the root zone heavily. Apply organic amendments and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard back and going to Forney, Texas to talk to Barbie. Hello, Barbie.
Good morning, Mr. Howard. My husband and I are planning on making some raised vegetable gardens in some virgin soil.
Okay.
I prefer the wood-sided beds, and he wants to make them out of yellow wood. I'm nervous about the yellow wood, and we're going to put you in the awkward position of deciding whether or not we're going to go with yellow wood or cedar.
Well, that's great. I love to get into these husband and wife debates. Like, I don't have enough of that going on myself. I don't like wood, period, Barbie, to be honest with you, on the front end here. And the reason is this. No matter what kind of wood you use, it's going to rot at some point and have to be replaced. So I'm in the school of using Haydite block, you know, cinder block or real stone or concrete or something like that. And the beds, vegetable beds in our experimental gardens, we don't have any walls at all. We just simply slope the sides down, and that's another option. On the other hand, the people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that do the best with community gardens, they use cedar. They use 2x10 and 2x8 cedar, and they claim that they get, you know, 7 or 8 years in some cases life out of that cedar. Well, with the stone or something else like that, you know, you'd get longer than that. It's a one-time investment. They'll argue that the wood doesn't get as hot and it's easier to work with and things like that. So either way, it's just, in my personal opinion, is stone or concrete is a more cost-effective way to go long-term.
You're not concerned about the concrete leaching, you know, into the soil?
No, I don't think that there's anything much available from the concrete products that would get into plants really at all. I've never had any reason to be concerned about that at all. But if you go with wood, you definitely want to go with the cedar, because I think just yellow pine is going to rot out in about a year and a half. With the organic program, when we're we're forcing the explosion of biological activity in the soil. The microbes, those bacteria and all those other microbes, I mean, they're eating that wood, you know, and they're eating it in a short period of time. I'm a big user of wooden barrels, you know, old whiskey barrels. Or,
sure, and these do rot out quickly, and that brings me a new idea. Would that be like setting up a habitat for the microbes, a positive thing, putting the wood into the soil?
Well, yeah, there's a whole philosophy of gardening, that, and I forget the term that they use, but what they
Google culture.
Huh?
Google culture.
That's exactly right. Burying the big pieces of logs in the ground and letting them rot, and you kind of reproduce what goes on in nature when a tree dies and falls down and rots and creates this incredible fertility, you know, next to it. So either of these ways is fine. The only thing I would fight anybody on would be using railroad cross ties and treated wood, you know, with copper, chromium, and arsenic. And I think those are incredibly dangerous and toxic. But the pine, the cedar, concrete, natural stone, which is probably my favorite of all of them, all of that's fine.
All right. Well, I certainly thank you for the time, and you have decided for the girls today.
All right. Thank you, Barbie.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Joe in Carrollton is next. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Howard. I won't put you in the middle.
Okay.
In fact, wife and I want to thank you for converting us about 7 years ago.
Oh, good.
Just with the between the Medina twice a year and the nematodes, we're golden.
No, that's great.
And also, if there's anybody that's on the fence out there that's wondering, it's a lot easier, it's a lot cheaper, and you can't screw it up. But any rate, on to my question. We have a couple of Airedale Terriers that are kind of tough on the grass in the backyard.
Yeah, cool dogs.
And about a third of the yard over the years has kind of, it used to be St. Augustine back there. About a third is taken over with Bermuda now. That's just kind of growing from next door, and that's fine. But on the other two thirds of the yard, we have a fairly large maple tree that has a pretty thick canopy, which is why it's hard, I think, getting the grass to grow. And so my question is, it never really recovered from last winter. What is the best and the most durable kind of grass that I can put down?
For dogs? Well, long-term, buffalo grass by far is the most durable and the toughest and can take the worst conditions and all that, but it can't grow in the shade is the problem. There's one called Turfalo that does have a shade-tolerant one, but they don't sell it in solid sod yet, so you have to plant the plugs. And while the plugs are trying to establish, the dogs will wreck the area. I tell people this all the time, and I'm out of time, so let me tell it to you real quick. What I recommend and use for my own dogs is a concrete dog run that they're in when I'm not there. When we're with them, they get to run around in the beds and the St. Augustine and the Zoysia and all the things. But if you leave them alone, they'll wear out even buffalo grass.
Okay.
And in the shade, you can't grow the buffalo grass very well anyway. So dog run while you're not there. Let them have whatever you want to have for yourself when you're with them, and it'll work fine. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'll talk to you before I get out of here. Enjoyed being with everybody. Great calls today, some good questions, and some great tips as well. We love that. Enjoy your gardens this week while we're not together, and I'll see you next week. DirtDoctor.com for your questions while I'm not around. Don't forget to feed the birds and water the birds.